Mrs. M. M. Romney, Reel 4.
Well, quite a bit, because, you see, we got the convoys. We got the trench feet, and we got all this and this, so forth. And as they came over, not that you could talk to them, but you had that, you understand, you'd hear them. Not that they spoke much, they couldn't. They'd say, oh, well, to so-and-so. As my brother was out there, I'd say, what's going on at Cornwall, so-and-so? Where have you come from? Well, we had to take so many things about them when they arrived, you see, where they'd been, their position, their regiment. And so that was it, you see. And, well, you did get an idea. Well, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you get one if they all arrived suddenly, either in the winter frostbitten, in the summer so-and-so, in the trenches? You'd get a good idea. Yes. They didn't get the really dying cases because they went to London. The London hospital took a certain number, I believe, and hospitals. But Colchester, being a garrison town, you see, they would come straight in remembrances, you see, to us. As also we let the go.
Was the condition of the troops as they arrived reported in the papers, or did they try not to mention that? So someone with no contact with the hospital didn't realise.
There were nothing to do with the press at all. A press wouldn't be allowed in a garrison, ordinary regular army. Remember, you're talking about the regular army, not this. Perhaps this woman who was in America, New York. I went to see her, you see. I said, but you weren't in the army, were you? Oh, yes, I was in the territory. She wasn't. There wasn't such a thing, you see. I just said to Molly, and I don't care at all. She'd been in the press. No, there was no press at all. No, the press wouldn't be allowed in. It was the army. And the army then was the army. And I was a sister. And very much so. There are certain things you could do and not to do. That you knew you didn't have to speak to the patients. The wards were silent. Silent, I mean, just order. The orderlies and everything. Oh, quite
what
different.
What were there for the men to do during the day, men who were able to sit up a bit?
In the huts, they could sit up a bit. I've got a picture of it. Remember that you asked for this and put a photograph of it. In the huts, there were proper wards, of course. In the huts, in the huts, they could sit up a bit. But in the wards, no. They were bed patients.
Did they have any sort of entertainment for the troops? In
I just told Ruby not to do the No. Army. A military. You are of the Imperial War Museum, are you not? Right. I was in a regular army hospital. No. I don't remember any. On the hospital ship, yes. And the army hospital, no. It was army from... Well, look what happened to me, because I said she was getting married. Nearly sent home again. And I hadn't even been told to be quiet. I never got out to the matron that I'd been told to be quiet. I never made any excuse to myself. That matron fell on her head in Italy in the war. She was sent to the hospital for six sisters in Vincent Square, and I was sent in to take her early morning tea and look after her. And when I went in, she said, I believe it's my little VAD. I said, yes, Mason. Right. No entertainment, right.
Did you keep in touch with your parents during this time?
Oh, yes. And we had leave off. We could go home. I don't remember going home for any length of time. But it was a long time ago. But we'd have a weekend when I'd spend the weekend in our house, you see. And so forth. We had a fortnight a year, but I was only there a year, you see.
What did your parents and friends think of you nursing soldiers?
Oh, they thought it was quite normal then. Completely normal, religious classes, all that was right. Well, they knew also, you see, it was a very, something very... I wasn't just an ordinary VAD, you see, I was in Cochin's Garrison Hospital, and then I went on a little ship. And, you know, if you've spent 2 years abroad and another 5 years in a... You haven't made many very special friends in where you lived. You were away 7 years. And that's also in this, only these leisure classes. It was a different life. Very boring at times, this leisure classes and that. But my brother, who fell in action, I went to all the private dances. We gave a ball in our own large house, you see. And those were rather nice. And that was all. But there was nothing in Garrison Hospital. Oh, no. Definitely, yes. A big yes. Yes.
Besides the fact that you enjoyed the nursing, what did you think of the war? Did you feel that the Germans were your enemies, for instance?
Well, I've always felt very annoyed with the Germans. Naturally, for bringing us to what they brought us to. Besides, if you want to know what I thought about the Germans, I will tell you what I thought about the Germans. And I've had the photograph of us all there until I can get it. I found that they were very like the English, except at one point. Morally, they were just a degree below us. That I definitely found. They would tell a lie. I wouldn't. See, that was the difference. Very definitely. Otherwise, I went to stay with them after the war, quite a number of them, only that was not that lot, but otherwise. And you must remember that the people who were with me in Geneva were again the ultra-leisured classes. One of them was the Herr Oberlandische Gerichtspräsidenten of Breslau. That's like one of the foremost leading judges and in charge of the whole of that Kate Fairhouse, terrible she was, and so forth. And they were all had round their bodies, the great thing was a belt of an officer, the magnificent belts. If you hadn't a belt in Germans at the school, well, I ask you. Their ambition and what they were being educated for was to go home and marry into the regular army in Germany. You follow? And that was a sine qua non. I don't know what happened to them in the end. And they didn't have to educate themselves. So of course, the education was a very high thing. It was like mythologie, this, what, law, and all this kind of thing. And of course, it was very definitely culture. And we were allowed to go to the Concert des Bon Mots and so forth. And I went to Sarah Bernhardt in L'Aiglon. I went to Cyrano de Bergerac with Cotton Aîné, which have those kind of things you might say, had I become a doctor, it wouldn't have been the same that I have now that I saw Sarah Bernhardt at Cotton Aîné and with these other the Jews, that I have something. You see what I mean? To me, and as I've got round in the other circles that I've met, right. So I very definitely came to the conclusion, which after all is true, that spiritually, no, they were that much below us. I remember one little thing, she insulted and called a lady, Queen Victoria, a whiskey drinker. I knocked her down through the bushes, her nose bled, and we were told the next meeting of the lessons that which was really just a talk from Mademoiselle, that there was no politics anymore. Well, I said, I didn't see the point, you know, but Mrs. Lady Queen Victoria, she probably did drink whiskey. I don't know if she drank whiskey. I never drank whiskey, totally bad. Well, anyway, that was that. And my opinion of the Germans has never changed. And I have dear friends there. Never changed. Never will change. My brother, of course, when he goes to Switzerland, those places, he won't even put his foot on German soil. He goes round. Well, he was in the war.
So you thought the First World War was justified against Germany?
Well, the
at
thing,
the time.
We had, yes, but it's not a question what it justified. We had no option. We had no option. Oh.
What about after your brother was killed? How did that make you feel? Did it make you bitter?
No. I was on the hospital ship when I heard that. They were awfully nice. They just said I could stay in my cabin. Not be, you always feel with that. You don't want anybody to see your face. I don't know. You go like that. And then the matron came in and said, well, I think now, come along, dear, I'll take you into lunch. I was rather spoilt. I was definitely spoilt, all right. You see, on there, I was next to the matron. Oh, yes, I was spoilt. Okay. I didn't know it at the time. Of course, you never do. And that was it. I was very upset. I was weeping. They all knew because they'd seen it in the press. We were in Malta. And they said, look, I don't know what. Then the mail is coming. It'll be in Collis's mail. And so I didn't notice. We were still in the ward, seeing two people. I thought somebody's standing on the stairs. Somebody, I don't know what she's there for. And one came in with the letters, and they watched, you see. And they saw me just come to. I pulled out a black edge to one of my brother. I just sort of stood, you know. And someone came to my room, and I said, wasn't it? They said the night before we went to the opera in Malta, and they said she might as well go. She'll hear in the morning, she might just as well go. And that was it. I was really upset, but I wasn't bitter about the Germans over that. No. I was bitter over Hitler. But I was, what has helped me very much was my boy, I had a son then, you see, the Second World War, married, and my son had a lot to do with a doctor, I can't remember her name, but she had been a pupil of not Lund but the other, and she was one of the big cool people in Germany, and she took a fancy to my son, really talked to him, and she went a wholesale over me. She said, if you come and live with me, I'll leave you all my money. I like to look at a pleasant face. Oh, yes. I said, I'm married. Yes, but you don't care about your husband. Oh, I thought she's managing it nicely, and German at that. Well, now look, she told me this. You must remember this. I knew nothing about spiritualism then, you see. She said, Hitler was inhabited by a demoniac. A demoniac, and he was. It was not Hitler at all, obviously a plain soldier. And only God can stop a demoniac. And God did it, you see, when the Russian line, which of course astrologers said, that line which went from such, 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 latitude and longitude, etc. Because I took this from astrology. Someone said, that would be the moment. And it was then God then decided the demoniac had had enough leeway. And nothing could stop that. Now that, she wrote it down. And who do you think wrote that? Goethe. And Goethe was an initiate, you see. I've got his Wilhelmmeister there, which was his part of his life, really, Goethe. And so, I didn't mind the German intellectuals. Why should I? The same in every breed. And that was the most important thing to me, because I understood the war. I understood, really, but I didn't understand, of course. I mean, I still thought the same, because Belsen would never have happened had I not been right. Indeed. Had I not been right about their spiritual step, that couldn't possibly have happened. Nor Auschwitz, nor the others. No. Nor the war, actually. Right.
But getting back to the First World War...
Oh, yes, of course, yes, yes.
Colchester with rationing or shortages?
No, I was thinking, not the whole of the war, no worries. I thought you'd ask that question. In Salonika, obviously, because you couldn't get them through. But in Colchester, no, the food remained exactly the same. A lot of rice. But you see, Colchester is one of these places where they grow vegetables, and et cetera, et cetera.
Did the nurses and the patients eat the same food?
About, yes. I'd say yes.
About dressings and cotton and bed linens and medicines and things like that?
We had all we wanted. I would say in the First World War, which is of course a completely different thing, I would say that of course they had everything. To sum it up, when it was over, I went to stay with two of these sisters on there, and they were in, not Reigate, but on that line. And they said, you know, Collis, this isn't your war. This isn't going to be your war. They were right, saying quite kindly, meaning that was a different war. But this isn't your war going to be. Hmm. That summed it up exactly. That was it. And no, we had no shortage of food. No.
Did you have blackout at Colchester?
Yes, we did. We did. Now, you're putting it, you see, you did. When the convoys came in the night, you see, I was going to mention, I thought of this before you came, and I only thought about it just before you came. It was always in the darkness, you see. It was very difficult. Dark shadows and the stretchers coming in, the stretcher bearers, and the orderlies, and all quiet because of the other patients. It was quite something in the darkness. Only I think we had to go to... Yes, I went to the police court once. We'd left a little shadow of light. I went to the Graham, you see, the Marquis of Graham's daughter or something, and another one, Gilby of the...